ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुदीनतारिणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्येश्वरम्। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। नमो महाविदन्याय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरक्षे नमः। पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते। तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। So we have been reading from Bhagavad Gita chapter 7. So today we'll be discussing text 15 onwards. So last time we were discussing text 12 through 14, where Lord Krishna is describing that people who are under the control of various modes of material nature, sattva guna, rajaguna, tamas guna, they are not able to understand me. So the world does not know me, who is above all the modes and inexhaustible. And why people are not able to understand Krishna? Because they are deluded by the three modes. And how one can somebody go out of these three modes? Because this divine energy, Maya, which is Krishna's energy, that is the controller of three modes. It's very difficult to overcome. So Krishna says, Devi hai esha gunamai mama maya durattaya. Mam eva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. So this material energy is very difficult to overcome. So how one can overcome material energy? By surrendering unto Krishna. So here Lord Krishna very clearly states, Mam eva ye prapadyante. If somebody surrenders unto me, then he is very easily able to cross beyond it. Because ultimately Maya is servant of Krishna, and if the masters tell the servant to do something, the servant will follow. So Maya Devi, when Krishna says that let this soul come to me, relax your grip on this living entity. So then Maya Devi pacifies, calms down, and let the living entity move towards Krishna. So then next question comes, that if everybody is able to come to Krishna by surrendering to Krishna, why not everybody approaches Krishna? So what type of people approach Krishna and what type of people do not approach Krishna? So that is what is described in the next two verses, very, very important verses. So text 15, Lord Krishna is describing the type of living entity who does not surrender unto Krishna. Namam duskritno mudha prapadyante naradhama maya pratagyana asuram bhavamashritaha. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, who are lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. So Krishna is giving very clearly the four categories of people who do not approach Krishna, who do not surrender unto Krishna. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that it is said in Bhagavad Gita that simply by surrendering oneself unto the lotus feet of Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, one can surmount the stringent laws of material nature. So at this point, a question arises, how is that the educated philosophers, scientists, businessmen, administrators, and all the leaders of ordinary men do not surrender to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, the all-powerful personality of Godhead? Mukti or liberation from the laws of material nature is sought by the leaders of mankind in different ways. And with great plans and perseverance for a great many years and births. But if that liberation is possible by simply surrendering unto the lotus feet of Supreme Personality of Godhead, then why don't these intelligent and hard-working leaders adopt this simple method? So that is the question which comes, okay, if Krishna is the Supreme Lord, He is provider of liberation, why not people surrender unto Krishna? So here Krishna says, these type of people do not approach me. And why is that? The word used here is duṣkṛtinā. So kritina, kriti means one who performs some significant work, meritorious work. And if we put the prefix in front of kriti, which is either duṣkṛti or sukriti, right? These are the two very common words used in our Vedic culture, duṣkṛti or sukriti. Sukriti is when you add su in front of kriti, it becomes very pious work, right? Some significant work which is pious in nature. And same way, duṣkṛti means some work which is very sinful in nature. So the word Krishna uses here is duṣkṛtinā. These miscreants, the sinful people, they do not surrender unto me. So this atheist plan maker, sometimes they are also very intelligent. And they are very meritorious. They may have some name and fame. People follow them. But because any gigantic plan, either it's a good or bad, must take some intelligence to execute those tasks. So their work is also considered as meritorious work, but it is in the negative side. Duṣkṛti. And these atheist brain is improperly utilized rather than moving towards the Supreme Lord, but in opposite, it is moving away from the Supreme Lord. So that's why they are described as duṣkṛtinā. And what are these four different type of miscreants? So Krishna gives four very significant words here. Mudha. So the first category is mudha. The grossly foolish people. Or it can be considered as ignorant And the second category is Naratma, the lowest among the mankind. And the third category is Maya Aparita Jnana, whose intelligence, whose knowledge has been stolen by Maya. And the fourth category is Asuram Bhavam Ashritaha, who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, who take to the demoniac mentality, demoniac tendencies. So these are the four type of people. Now let's discuss what are these four categories in particular, how to categorize in these four different divisions. So Mudha, which is grossly foolish, these are the materialistic people who are too busy with their earning or fulfilling their so-called responsibilities, self-imposed duties. So they have no interest in spiritual life. And in the purport, Prabhupada compares that with the donkey, ass. So when we want to refer to somebody as Mudha or fool, we give the example of a donkey. Tum bilkul gadhe ho. Because the donkey is also considered as Mudha, completely foolish, because he is the beast of burden. He is carrying a lot of weight on his back throughout the day with the hope to get some grass from the master. So this ass is lifting all this weight on its back just to get some dry grass, which is available everywhere, anyways. And materialistic people, their situation is also like that. They work day and night to earn their livelihood, to earn their living, so they can try to have a comfortable life with little flickering happiness, or the prospectus of happiness, not even actually the real happiness, just thinking that by working hard they will become happy. Like I generally give this example of a carrot dangling in front of the donkey. So the master of the donkey, he puts a stick above his head, and in the front there is a carrot dangling. And the donkey thinks, so if I take a couple of steps, I will be able to catch that carrot and enjoy that. But as he moves, the carrot also moves forward. So he travels from one place to another with just the hope that just with this one more step, I will get this carrot. So he goes from one place, reaches to its destination. Finally, the master takes that stick out and gives the carrot to the donkey for working that hard. And then after washing the clothes, he put that all the wet clothes on the back of the donkey, which is even more heavier now. Again, there is a stick on the head of the donkey with a carrot dangling in the front. And the donkey again thinks, oh, if I move again, I will get this carrot. So that is the prospectus of getting happiness. For small, flickering happiness, one thing, oh, if I work hard, if I just achieve this little thing, then I will become happy. So there is always that thing going on. So these mudhas are like these materialistic people who are working hard day and night to earn money or to fulfill these self-imposed duties. If you try to invite some such mudha to temple, to some satsang program, and generally answer comes, oh, I'm very busy. I have so many responsibilities to fulfill. And all these responsibilities are in one sense a self-imposed responsibility. We keep increasing our responsibility by ourselves, buying a bigger house, getting into these so many different activities. All these are self-imposed responsibility. Do it really need it? No. Like once one person was traveling in the train, and in the train everywhere, generally mostly all these public places, now it's written no smoking. Smoking is prohibited. So this person is traveling in this train, and opposite to this person was one sadhu sitting. And after a couple of hours pass by, this person is feeling restless. He is taking one cigarette out of his pocket and putting into his mouth. And the sadhu indicates, see, it's written no smoking, should not smoke here. And he says, oh, my life is about to leave. Mere pran nikle ja rahe hain. I am so much used to smoking. I can't live without it. And the sadhu asks, but why you want to smoke? It's so dangerous, so harmful for you. First of all, you spend so much money buying these cigarettes. And after that, by smoking this cigarette, it doesn't do any good to your health. You are spoiling your health, so much of mouth diseases, all these ulcers and bad breath and all these various things gone. So you are wasting your money also, and you are spoiling your health also. Does it do any good to you at all? So this is kind of self-imposed problem that you are putting on yourself. So same way, people in this world, they just keep putting self-imposed duties, one thing and more and more and more, and they become too entangled in that, that there is no escape out of that, no way out of that. Like the silkworm. Silkworm, when he prepares the silk, so he is, from his mouth, saliva comes out, and through that saliva, he is preparing this, what do you call, web, which is the silken web, and that is the silk which is taken to make the clothes, the silk clothes, the silk thread. So this silkworm is preparing that web, and it becomes so much entangled in that, that he covers everything all around and doesn't leave any place for himself to come out. And ultimately it just gets captured in that web and dies. So like that, these mudhas, the materialistic people, they become too busy in earning, fulfilling these duties imposed upon themselves, that they completely forget what is the real aim of life, what is the real goal of the human life. And they teach their kids also to become like these sophisticated animals that earn more and more, live as luxurious as you can. So they train their kids also like that. So another example, once one sadhu was traveling in the train, and opposite to him, one family was sitting, and this person is scolding his small child. So the sadhu asked, why are you scolding him? What happened? So this person turned to the sadhu and told, Maharaj, abhi aap hi samjhaiye isko. Please, you guide him, teach him. So tell me what happened. See, we went to a wedding, and in this wedding, there was so much of nice preparation. All these things were there, Kaju Kishmish and all these other nice things. And he was keeping aside all those nice items, was sitting in one corner and eating khichdi. See, khichdi, kuch khane ki cheez hai, itne achche preparations hai, he should eat something nice. So the sadhu said, it is good if your child is attracted to simple living. Why you want to force him to be attracted towards all those luxurious things? It's good that your son is attracted to the simple way of living. But that is the general tendency. People think, oh, my child should have the best of best. He should try to enjoy the wealth and all these luxurious facilities. So they make their kids also a sophisticated animal. Just earn more and more. That is the measure of success. If somebody is wealthy, somebody has all these nice facilities, then he is considered as well-settled, well-polished person or cultured person. Busy with eating, sleeping, mating, defending, they just waste all their life. As Kabirji says, Tune raat gawai soye ke, divas gawayo khaye ke, heera janam amol tha, kodi badle jaye. The whole night you have wasted sleeping, all day you have wasted in eating this human form of life, which is a very precious life, like a diamond, we are wasting it like the pennies. So Mudha are generally the ignorant people who do not know their real identity. We may say, okay, it is maybe the lack of knowledge that they don't understand what is the value of human life and they are just wasting it. Maybe because they do not have the real understanding, real knowledge. They do not know who am I, what is the purpose of human life. But then Krishna gives the next example, which is Naradhama. So these four categories which Krishna is mentioning, Mudha, Naradhama, Maya Paharita Jnana, and Asuram Bhavam Ashrita, these are in a ascending order, more and more degraded categories. So if Mudha is the least sinful or the least foolish category out of all these four who do not surrender, so the next category is Naradhama. What is Naradhama? Adhama means who is the fallen. And Naradhama means who is the most fallen among the human beings. So there are 8 lakh or 84 lakh species of life, right? 84 lakh yonia. Out of that, 80 lakh species are the different species as animals, birds, reptiles, plants, aquatics. And the 4 lakh species of life are considered as the human species, the different varieties of human species. It could be the human being, the Gandharvas, and even the demigods, all these various categories. But these are not based on the differences in bodily features or something. This is more on the level of consciousness. So this 4 lakh species of humans, based on the consciousness, even if the mudhas, who are the ignorant, the foolish people, they can be uplifted by giving knowledge about God. But if somebody does not show any interest at all in spirituality, just thinking, let me enjoy, 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 that is the ultimate goal of life. So then one is wasting his human form of life. That is considered as the lowest among humans. Even after he is given the opportunity to learn, he is not taking up that opportunity, wasting that human form of life. He is considered as the most fallen among the human beings. Like in the human forms also, we see there are many tribal beings or something, which are considered as uncivilized people. See, being in a village setup or not having proper clothing or not having proper education is not the measure of being civilized or uncivilized. It is more to do with our sanskaras. So people who do not want to take to the spiritual life, do not want to take to the principles of scriptures, the following the rules and regulations, those are considered as uncivilized from the Vedic perspective. One thinks that I will think about spirituality at old age. So to offer oneself to Krishna when one has become good for nothing is a very non-devotional attitude. Because that is the general tendency of people. Oh, right now let me just enjoy. Let me work hard, earn money, enjoy as much as possible. What about spirituality? Oh, that is for old age. That's old age program. So when people do not want to show any interest into spirituality, that is considered as Naradhama. If somebody is driving on a freeway at 100 mile per hour, 120 mile per hour, and if somebody stops that person, that please wait, stop. And if this person says, oh, do not trouble me, do not bother me, I am very busy. But please tell me, where are you going? Oh, that I do not know. I am just very busy. Let me keep going so fast. So that is the tendency of all these materialistic people who do not know what is the aim of life, goal of life, but they are just going, running at a fast speed, thinking if I work hard, if I earn more money, I will be able to enjoy. And they really do not know what is the real purpose, real goal of life. So one should understand that taking of devotional process, taking to spirituality, it's not the matter of choice. It is the matter of necessity. For example, if there is a patient, so for patient, treatment is not a matter of choice. It's a matter of necessity. If he doesn't take the treatment, his disease is keep going to increase more and more and more. So he need to take the treatment. There is no choice. The same way, the living entity in this material world, it's in a diseased condition. This material world can be considered as a hospital. And the messengers of the Lord, the great devotees of the Lord, they are like the doctor who are here to guide the living entity how to cure his disease, the suffering condition, and get out of this suffering condition. But we think, oh, I will just settle down in this hospital. I don't want to do anything else. I just want to enjoy. They want to enjoy in this suffering situation also. Whatever the little flickering happiness or little flickering enjoyment is there, they just want to enjoy that. So these first two categories, Mudha and Naradhama, which do not take to the spirituality, they are completely busy with their eating, mating, sleeping, defending, those animalistic tendencies, and just waste their life like that. Here Krishna has used the word Mudha. Actually, there is another passage from Srimad Bhagavatam where Prahlad Maharaj uses even more severe word. He uses the word Vimudha. And where he uses that, when Lord Narsingadev appeared and he killed Hiranyakashipu, after that Prahlad Maharaj pacified Narsingadev. And Narsingadev asked Prahlad Maharaj, ask me for any boon, any benediction. And Prahlad Maharaj said, no, I do not want any benediction. And Narsingadev said, you do not want to have the benediction even that of liberation, that you want to come out of this material world under the control of Maya. And Prahlad Maharaj said, no, I am not worried about the influence of Maya, because I am confident that by taking your shelter, by chanting your holy name, I will be able to overcome the effects of influences of Maya. But my concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I am simply concerned for them. So what is the word Prahlad Maharaj is using here? Shoche tato vimukta chetasaha indriyartha maya sukhaya bharam udbhavato vimudhan. So here uses the word vimudha, the grossly foolish. They are completely under the influence of Maya, working like fools and rascals. They are making their elaborate plans for material happiness, Maya Sukhaya, which is a flickering enjoyment proposed by Maya. Bharam Udbhavatu. So they are taking up too much of burden. What kind of burden? All their self-imposed obligations, responsibilities of the family, societies, nations, different, all these various things. So they are the grossly foolish people. I am concerned about them. So that is what Prahlad Maharaj is saying. And that is the tendency of a devotee. He wants to see everybody progress towards Krishna, move towards Krishna. So third category of people, which Lord Krishna is describing here, who do not take to this process of Krishna consciousness, do not surrender to Krishna, they are Maya Aparita Jnana. Jnana means knowledge, Aparita means kidnapped, and Maya means by the material energy. So their knowledge has been stolen by the illusory energy. even though they may be very learned fellows, they may be great philosophers, poets, literates, scientists, but the illusory energy misguides them, and therefore they disobey the laws of God. They defy the existence of God. So they defy the existence of God or His control, and they claim that, oh, everything is under our control, or at the most they will say everything is under the control of nature. There is no existence of God, or there is nothing like God. So these people are called Maya Paharita Jnana, whose knowledge has been stolen. They are deluded about the essence and purpose of knowledge. So here we are not criticizing the science or the scientist, but the materialism which is propagated by the science to promote its own ideology. So these type of people, they are eager to push forward their theories, but they are unwilling to accept its consequences. And Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita, in this purport, that even among the scholar of Bhagavad Gita, there are many Maya Paharita. They are, even though they are writing the commentaries on Bhagavad Gita, but they are not taking the essence, they are not themselves not understanding the essence of Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, in very plain and simple language, it is stated that Sri Krishna is the Supreme Lord. There is nobody equal to Him, nobody greater than Him. He is mentioned as the father of Brahma. Not only the father of Brahma, but He is also mentioned as the father of all the species of life. Aham Bija Pradha Pita, that I am the seed-giving father for everybody. He is mentioned as the root of everything, including the impersonal Brahman or the Paramatma, which is the super soul in every living entity. He is the fountainhead of everything, and everybody is advised to surrender unto Him. So all these clear statements are there in Bhagavad Gita, but despite all these clear statements, these Maya Paharita Jnanis, they deride the existence of the Supreme Lord, they deride the personality of the Supreme Lord, and consider Him merely some another human being. So they will write in their commentaries, oh, there is no need to surrender to Krishna, there is something unborn within Krishna who is speaking from Krishna. Even though all these clear statements are there in Bhagavad Gita, still they do not accept those, or they do not follow those. And the fourth category of people is Asuram Bhavam. Meaning of Asuram Bhavam is who have taken to the demoniac mentality. So people who actually want to work against Krishna, they want to defy Krishna. So these may include the fanatic people who propose their own ideas and try to destroy others' faith. So all these Islamic and Christian evangelists who try to forcibly impose their ideologies and defy Krishna and destroy others' faith. And it also includes the people such as Kamsa, Ravana, Hiranyakashipu. They do not accept the existence of Krishna. They do not accept the supremacy of Krishna. So it is not that these are only these four type of people which Krishna is mentioning here as Mudha, Naradhama, Maya Paharita Jnana, and Asuram Bhavam. Sometimes people are the combination of these four. So out of these four, with the various permutation and combination, other categories come up. Somebody may have all the four tendencies, somebody's overlap of few particular tendencies. And even we may have some of these tendencies, maybe in a small extent. So these four type of people, they may be accepting the existence of God. They may not be as a completely, maybe atheist to say. So they may be approaching a particular aspect of God. They may be approaching a particular Devi Devata also, or somebody maybe in a different faith system, maybe accepting somebody else, let's say as Jesus or Allah, as different aspects of God. But they do not approach Krishna or any of his forms as Lord Vishnu, Lord Ram, Lord Narsingadev, etc. So these Mudha, Naradhama, Maya, Bharatagyana may be considering themselves as religious people. So occasionally going to the place of worship as a temple or church or mass for some particular purpose, to ask for wealth or health or to resolve some problem. They may occasionally be considering themselves as a religious person. But what is the difference what Krishna is mentioning here? Because they do not approach the Supreme Lord, they come under these categories. Even the Asuram Bhavam people also may be religious, but they become fanatic about particular aspect. Somebody may be fanatic about particular Devi or Devata or a particular aspect, and they believe in him and they become envious of Krishna and try to criticize, defy him. So to give few examples, let's say Ravan. Right? Ravana was also in one sense a religious person. He was a worshipper of Shiva, but he was with demoniac mentality, Asuram Bhavam. He was the enemy of Vishnu. He was enemy of Lord Ram. He wanted to kill Lord Ram. And same way Kamsa, he was also so-called religious person. He was worshipper of Durga, but he was Asuram Bhavam. He was with demoniac mentality. He wanted to kill Krishna since the time of his birth. Hiranyakashipu, he was also worshipper of Brahma. He prayed to Brahma, did the austerities for so many thousands of years. So he was worshipper of Brahma, but at the same time, he was a great enemy of Lord Vishnu. He wanted to kill Vishnu. He wanted to defy Vishnu. So these are the certain examples of Asuram Bhavam people. So we cannot say, oh, these people are completely atheist or something. They were not completely atheist, but they were against Krishna. They wanted to either destroy Krishna, kill Krishna, criticize Krishna, defy Krishna. So that is their demonic mentality. And the purpose of hearing about this, reading about this, is not to start labeling people with that. Because if we are going and approaching other people, teaching them or preaching to them, and if somebody is not willing to come to the process of bhakti or take to this spirituality, and you tell him, oh, you are a Buddha, you are Naradhama, you are Asuram Bhavam, labeling somebody does not do any good. It's not that by calling them with this harsh word they will come closer to Krishna. Actually, they may be again pushed further away from Krishna. So we have to be very careful not to start labeling anybody. But it is for our understanding, first of all, for us to understand, at least I should not come in these categories. I do not want to go away from Krishna. And to understand what are the mentality of other people, but not to call names or judge them with these categories. So after explaining that what type of people do not come closer to me, in the next verse Krishna describes what are the type of people who approach me. So we will briefly go over that. We may not be able to cover it completely, but briefly I will mention that. So text 16, Lord Krishna described, Chaturvidha bhajante maam jana sukriteno arjuna arto jigyasur artharti jnani cha bharatarashvah. So Chaturvidha bhajante maam, the four type of people begin to render devotional service to me. So here also the word Kritino is there, but in front of that the prefix is Su Kritino. So the people who are performing pious activities. So out of these four type of pious people, they start rendering devotional service to me. And what are these four type of people? Artho. Artho means one who is distressed. Jigyasur, one who is inquisitive. Artho Arthi, one who is desiring some material benefit. And Jnani, one who is in knowledge. So these are the four type of people, Sukritino, who start rendering service unto Krishna. So what are these four different categories? Or to understand them, what are these four type of people are? And where do we belong? See, there are many people who do not approach Krishna at all. They are just lost in their own world. But there are some people who are at least approaching Krishna, no matter for what purpose. At least they are taking step towards Krishna, accepting the higher being, the supremacy of Krishna, and then coming to Krishna. Either they are trying to come for some material benefit or without any material benefit. So all these four type of people, the first three categories are the Sakam Bhakta, who is approaching Krishna for some benefit. The first is distressed. So when people have tried everything in this world, they are not able to come out of their problem situation. Either it's a financial problem, health problem, some legal problem. After being dependent on their own strength, their own intelligence, or the strength and intelligence of their other social circle, their family members, then they approach God. So these are the Artha people, Artha, who are distressed. So somebody has a severe disease, some bodily problem, or somebody has lost all his money, all his wealth, he has become bankrupt, financial problem. Somebody has so many cases going on against him. He is mentally troubled and under this difficult situation. And then they will come to temple and approach Krishna. Abhi aap hi sab kuch ho hamare liye. Please help me solve this problem. So these are the distressed people. And what is the classical example from scripture? Somebody approaching Krishna under distressed condition. One example from Srimad Bhagavatam is Gajendra. In the Gajendra Moksha Leela, we hear or read that pastime, Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto. So this elephant, he was in such a great distress. He came to the river with all his family members, with his small children and his wife and all other elephant friends, to take bath in the river. And as he is enjoying in the waters of the river, splashing the water on his kids, all his friends and all, one crocodile came and caught hold onto his foot and started dragging him inside. And this Gajendra is trying to protect himself, fighting against that crocodile. This fight went on for 1,000 years. And this Gajendra is losing all his strength. And crocodile, because he is the animal of water and he is inside water, he is gaining strength and Gajendra is becoming weaker. And in that stressful situation, he finally called out to Lord Vishnu. So this is the example, approaching the Supreme Lord at least in a distressed situation, accepting the Lord who can help us, who can take us out of that situation. Another example of Artho, the distress situation, is Draupadi. So in the assembly of all the Kauravas, when Pandavas lost that gambling match and Dushasan wanted to disrobe Draupadi, she relied on the strength of her husbands. When her husbands could not protect her, she relied on the strength of all the elderly people in the assembly. Bhishma, Dhritarashtra, Dronacharya, Kripacharya, Vidura, And when they also did not speak anything, they also could not do anything to help her. Then she held on to her sari strongly. But as Dushasan jerked her sari and it slipped out of her teeth, which she was trying to hold, and then she raised both her hands and called out to Krishna, "Hey Govinda, please help me." And as soon as she called out to Krishna, Krishna appeared there and supplied unlimited sari. So these are the couple of examples. Approaching Krishna, at least in the problematic situation, at least at the time of some distress. And in the second category, before I go to inquisitive, we'll discuss about Artha Arati, which is seeker of some material benefit. So there are so many people who approach Krishna, rather than approaching somebody else, at least they utilize their intelligence and come to Krishna, rather than trying their various means of getting the wealth. Somebody with dushta buddhi, dushkriti no, they may think, "Oh, I want wealth, I will rob the bank. I will go to somebody's house and steal from there."
The recording has started.
So at least taking to those processes. They are approaching Krishna for their needs, for even if it's the need of some wealth. So people come to Krishna and they say, "Oh, please give me some wealth, dhanam dehi, give me beautiful body, beautiful life, beautiful or higher birth, right? Janam dehi, sundar sharir dehi, sundar bivi dehi, putra dehi, ghar dehi." So all these things, all these demands are there which are related to some material opulences. And one such classical example from scriptures is Dhruva Maharaj. When Dhruva Maharaj was chastised by his stepmother, Suniti, or Suruchi, so he came running to his mother in a crying situation, and his mother said, "Oh, even I cannot help you. So who can help me?" So his mother told him that, "I have heard when all these devotees of the Lord, they approach the Lord and he is the provider of everything. He can give everything." So Dhruva, he decided that, "I will approach the Supreme Lord." And where do you find the Supreme Lord? His mother said, "People go to forest to find the Supreme Lord." So Dhruva, at the dead of the night, he left home, started going towards the forest. On the way, he met Narad Muni, who tried to test him, to dissuade him that, "Oh, you are just a small child. You should not get hurt by this harsh word of your stepmother. Just go home and enjoy, play." And he said, "No, if you cannot help me finding the Supreme Lord, then just go out of my way. Let me go. I will find some other way." And when Narad Muni saw that he is very determined, then he showed him the right path. So Dhruva went to the forest. He did a lot of austerities for 6 months. And finally, the Lord appeared. And Dhruva's earlier intention was to get material wealth. He wanted a kingdom which is bigger than his father's kingdom, even bigger than his father's father's kingdom, and even bigger than his father's 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 kingdom. Who is that? That is ultimately Brahma. So he wanted the kingdom bigger than Brahma's kingdom. So he approached the Supreme Lord with that bhav, with that mentality. And ultimately, the Lord gave him everything. He cleared all his misconceptions or all his desires of material wealth. And Dhruva Maharaj said, "Earlier I was looking for the broken pieces of glasses, but after having your darshan, now my consciousness has become purified. I do not want any of this wealth. All I want is your bhakti, devotional service at your lotus feet." So that is the Artha Arati, who approaches the Supreme Lord with some material desire of material benefit. The third category is inquisitive people who approach Krishna out of curiosity. Say, for example, somebody has been coming to temple. They just come for whatever reason, to get relief from their problems or get some material opulences. But then they develop some curiosity. Oh, here I come to temple. There is some nice pravachan going on, some class going on. Let me just hear what they are explaining. So they just want to know something out of curiosity. So that is approaching the Supreme Lord with this jigyasa. And what is the example from the scriptures? That is the sages of Naimisharanya. So all these sages, 88,000 rishis, they assembled in Naimisharanya and they were performing long yajna. They will perform in the morning, they will start the yajna, and because of the fire sacrifice being performed, from the fire, all the smoke coming up, their faces are becoming smeared with the ashes, the dark smoke. And as they're performing, during one day, they saw a sage coming or sitting there who is effulgent, completely peaceful. And they approach that sage, which is Suta Goswami, that you look very peaceful, contented. Please tell us, please instruct us, what is the essence of all the scriptures? So out of curiosity, they approached. And then Suta Goswami started narrating Bhagavatam, which is narrated second time. So first time, Shukdev Goswami narrated it to Parikshit Maharaj, where Suta Goswami heard it. And then Suta Goswami started narrating it to the sages of Naimisharanya. So all these sages, they are the example of inquisitiveness, jigyasa. And the fourth category of people who approach Krishna, that is jnani, who are really in knowledge or who want to gain the actual knowledge, understand Krishna, understand the Supreme Lord. So they are the seeker of knowledge. And that is the example, is the Chatur Kumara, the Char Kumaras, Sanatadi Kumaras. They are the sons of Brahma and they stay just the age of 5-year-old children. And they were originally attracted towards the impersonal Brahman. That impersonal Brahman is everything. But then they learned from Brahma that the Lord is not just impersonal Brahman. He has his form and he resides in his spiritual world, Vaikuntha. So these four Kumaras, they wanted to go to Vaikuntha and meet the Lord. And as they are jnanis, they are in knowledge, but they are not started engaging in the devotional service. They are not at the level of bhakta, or what we call as the uttama bhakti. So these four Kumaras, as they approached Vaikuntha, they crossed the 6 gates. They came to the 7th gate of Vaikuntha. They were stopped by Jay and Vijay, the 2 doorkeepers. And they say, oh, this is the place for the devotees of the Lord. Nobody else can enter here. And these four Kumaras, they become very angry. And they wanted to curse Jay and Vijay for stopping them to enter into Vaikuntha. And at that time, Lord Vishnu, hearing all these noise at the door, he came out. And these four Kumaras, as they smelled the fragrance of tulsi leaf offered at the feet of Lord Vishnu, as that fragrance entered into the nostrils of these four Kumaras, they became completely mesmerized. And then looking at the Lord, seeing his beauty. So then from the level of jnani, they entered into the stage of bhakta. So at least that is the starting point when somebody is the seeker of knowledge. They start approaching towards Krishna. They understand Krishna. Here in this verse, Krishna is giving the starting point that these are the four type of people who come to me, at least approach me, started coming towards me. They are not pure devotees, but they acknowledge the presence of Supreme Being and approach to Him. And Krishna is just hungry for devotion. Even if the devotion is mixed with some impurities, it's mixed with some inferior motives. It's not pure, but he is very happy to accept the living entity who is trying to approach him. And then Krishna gradually lead them to the pure devotion. So even Dhruva, so he approached Lord out of some desire for material benefit, but Lord completely purified him. The Chatur Kumaras, they were purified. The inquisitive, the curious sages, they wanted to hear Bhagavatam and they all got purified. If somebody one way or another way approaches to Krishna, ultimately Krishna purifies them and uplifts them. So these are the examples which are relating to these four type of devotees who start coming towards Krishna. Even though in the beginning they are not pure, but as they start associating with devotees, they become pure. So first three categories which are mentioned here, Artho, Jigyasur and Artharati, they are the Sakam Bhakti. So many people are in the mixed state of devotion. Even all of us are not at the level of we can claim ourselves as pure devotees, that we don't have any other motive at all. We also may be mix of all these different things. Sometimes some particular thing is more prominent, sometimes more distressed situation, we want Lord to solve our problem. Sometimes we are more in need of some wealth or something, so artharati. So we are in a mixed state. But Krishna accepts everybody, no matter, okay, you are not in a pure situation right now, at a pure state, but I accept you being in a mixed state also. But ultimately, the goal should be to come to the level of Uttama Bhakti, which is without any inferior motives, without any desires. And what is this Uttama Bhakti? It's described, Anya Bhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Diyanavritam Anukulena Krishna Nushilanam Bhakti Ruttama Anya Abhilashita Shunyam. When all other desires have become nullified, become zero, it is free from the tendency of jnana, free from the tendency of karma. Jnana karma adi anavritam. So here the word adi is used, like we say etc, etc. So jnana, karma, dhyana, yoga, all these desire for liberation, mystic powers, etc, 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 all have been nullified. Anukulena, which is completely beneficial for our progress towards Krishna. Anukulena Krishna Nushilanam Bhaktir Uttama. That is the purest form of bhakti. So these are the starting points, and out of these, Krishna will further describe that even though these are the four type of people who surrender unto me, but among these four, who is the best? Krishna described among these jnani, who is in knowledge, who is approaching me with knowledge, at least he is best, because he has come to a higher state of being. So now we understand what are the category of people who defy Krishna, who never take shelter of Krishna, and what are the type of people who surrender to Krishna. And we can see where do we belong and how we can progress more towards Krishna. So I will stop here. Shrimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai. If anybody has any comments or questions.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Prabhu, about 716. And the four kind of people of Mr. Krishna. Is this, we should understand like these four are the four level of the approach, like who is in the distressed condition is in the person who is approaching from the distress and is in lower level compared to the person who is in jnana, knowledge.
I guess it's an overlapping situation. So you are saying, is the person in the distressed situation is the lowest, then Jigyasur, then Artharati, then Jnani.
Mm.
So I don't think there is any ascending order like that. It's overlapping stages also. Some people approach for multiple reasons also. They are distressed also. They are in need of wealth also. Or they are inquisitive also, curious also. So it may be overlap also. It's not as a progressive stage.
Okay.
But we can definitely say that Artho and Artharathi, better than that is Jigyasur. So Artho or Artharathi may be at the same platform, but Jigyasur, that somebody is approaching Krishna out of curiosity, that okay, let me see what is there. Let me try to see or learn about Krishna. So out of curiosity, Jigyasa. So that is a higher step, right? Somebody has been coming to temple for so many years, just comes to stand in front of Krishna, pray, put some donation in the gulak and goes away. Doesn't hear anything, doesn't do anything. But after being coming for so many weeks and months and years, he develops this desire, oh, let me listen also something. Every week there is class going on, so let me listen something. So that curiosity comes. That is a higher state, for sure. And then higher than that definitely is Jnani. That who has accumulated some knowledge and then approaching Krishna, is got desire to take shelter of Krishna, surrender to Krishna and render some devotional service to Krishna.
Okay, so we cannot identify the level of Adhikari, Uttamadhikari, Madhyamadhikari.
No, this is nothing to do with Uttamadhikari, Madhyamadhikari here. Because these are the starting point of somebody's surrender to Krishna. It's all at the level of Kanishtha Adhikari.
Okay.
Level of beginners.
Yes, approaching, yeah, beginners. Okay, got it. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? Okay, otherwise we'll end here. So Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Mm-hmm.